This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. The long productive life of Winston Churchill is traced through documents on display at the Library of Congress. Churchill served his country as Prime Minister 2 times. He led Britain through the Second World War and again in the tense days of the Cold War. The relationship he forged with President Franklin Roosevelt set the standard for today's American-British alliance. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg visited the exhibit with Churchill's youngest and only surviving child.
This is the letter you wrote, Lady Soames?
Yes. I've never seen it since I wrote it. Haven't I spelled A4 wrong?
Lady Mary Churchill Soames, 81 years old, with gray perm, pearls, and a royal blue suit, finds her younger self on the walls of the Library of Congress, and relics from her father's early days bring smiles to her sweetly intelligent face. There's a report card from 1883, when 8-year-old Winston Churchill was a student at St. George's School, Ascot. In spidery teacher's penmanship, this comment on his diligence began term well, but latterly has been very naughty.
Yes. No, his school career was not glorious. Well, of course, from that particular school, it was an awful school. It had a sort of sadistic headmaster, and he was beaten appallingly.
The St. George's report card finds 8-year-old Winston's composition very variable, his grammar just fair.
He was never a good scholar, but he was good at the subjects he liked. I mean, he won at prize for reciting reams and reams of poetry, but he was very idle and bad at things that he wasn't interested in.
Eventually, the naughty little boy with writing problems grew up to win the 1953 Nobel Prize for Literature and become one of the 20th century's greatest and most prolific authors.
Churchill was a man who very much lived from pen to mouth.
Alan Packwood is director of the Churchill Archive Center at Cambridge University. They have some 2,500 boxes filled with documents.
Writing was extremely important to him. He wrote in his political life. He wrote in his personal life, preferring manuscript correspondence and typescript correspondence to the telephone. And he wrote for a living. His books, his multi-volume histories of the First and Second World Wars, and also newspaper articles on an amazing variety of subjects. His own adventures, yes, but also on such subjects as whether there was life on the moon. He is an ambitious man. He also has an eye to posterity and what is ultimately going to happen to this material and his reputation.
Winston Leonard Spencer Churchill was born at Blenheim Palace in 1874. His father, a descendant of the Duke of Marlborough, was Lord Randolph Churchill. His mother, Jenny Jerome, was an heiress from Brooklyn. Her financier father once owned the New York Times. For some 60 years, Churchill was a member of the Parliament. Twice he served as his nation's prime minister. Archivist Alan Packwood says the papers, letters, photos, even the silk top hat on view at the Library of Congress reveal that this great Briton was a force of nature.
He's the sort of person who, if he is awake, has to be active and doing something. So he has to be engaged in politics. If he's not engaged in politics, then he has to be writing. If he's not writing, then he has to be painting. If he's not painting, then he has to be holding forth at the dinner table.
Churchill's daughter Mary remembers that some of those dinner table gatherings featured rhyme and rhythm.
One of the things I enjoyed most was when we were at meals at the end of luncheon or dinner, Papa would be in the reciting form, and he would recite word perfect, verses and prose that he'd learnt all those years ago.
But there were times, Lady Soames says, when her brilliant, ebullient, eloquent father fell silent.
If he was working at a very big speech, my mother used to say, "You must be quiet now. Your father is with speech."
I expect that the Battle of Britain is about to begin. Upon this battle depends the survival of Christian civilized nations.
This one, delivered before the House of Commons, was one of Churchill's biggest speeches. June 18, 1940. France has fallen to the Germans. Great Britain, says Churchill, will continue to fight.
Let us, therefore, brace ourselves to our duties and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say, "This was their finest hour."
the sonorous, determined voice, the words designed to inspire and, yes, thrill. Curator Alan Peckwood describes how Prime Minister Churchill created these addresses.
The speech would be set out, first of all, in normal typescript, and he would then go through, sometimes with a blue pen, sometimes with a red pen, making all sorts of changes, alterations, annotations. Speech might go through several versions, several drafts like that. But when his office were confident that they had the speech in more or less its final form, they would set it out in what they called psalm form, which is a blank verse form, reflecting the way that the speech would actually be delivered.
And that psalm form, so that when you look at it, it looks like a poem. There are a cluster of words on each line.
And those are the notes that Churchill would actually speak or broadcast from.
What kind of a people do they think we are? Is it possible they do not realize that we shall never cease to persevere against them until they have been taught a lesson which they and the world will never forget?
Now it is December 26, 1941, a few weeks after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. The British Prime Minister rushes to Washington to address a joint session of Congress.
He gets on that ship just as quickly as he can and sails across the Atlantic, which is itself, of course, at that time, was an extremely hazardous undertaking. There are still U-boats prowling around. But he makes a point of coming over to the United States as quickly as possible to secure U.S. support in the aftermath of Pearl Harbor and to secure the direction of that U.S. support against Germany first and Japan second.
Twice in a single generation, the catastrophe of world war has fallen upon us. Twice in our lifetime has the long arm of fate reached out across the oceans to bring the United States into the forefront of the battle.
Hearing her father's voice, seeing the texts of speeches he gave in those dark war days, Lady Mary Churchill Soames, the only one of Churchill's five children still alive, says she finds herself most moved.
Did bring the war back very much to me. And you know how isolated we felt, and how, it brought it all such a lot back to me.
When Winston Churchill died in January 1965, 2 months after his 90th birthday, cartoonist Bill Malden, a veteran of World War II, drew a widely published image that expressed this country's feeling of loss. It shows a lion, the symbol of Great Britain, aged but proud and fierce still, a single tear falling from his left eye. That drawing and some 200 other items remain on view at the Library of Congress through June 26th. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.
Photographs from the exhibit and excerpts from Churchill's famous speeches are at npr.org.